At 100,000 feet, what do we from a management leadership standpoint, get right and what do we get wrong when we approach clinicians with data?
Well, maybe, you know, it probably depends on your audience. So all of us that go into medicine, we want to help people. And so our North Star is always the patient. Well, I think numbers without how this is impacting outcomes, how this is helping me do my job better as a clinician, often can be a way that we might miss the mark in communicating with clinicians. I think telling those patient stories and connecting back the numbers to what we're actually seeing clinically is always important.
Hi, my name is Tim Cohen, and welcome to Vital Conversations. Here we talk to industry leaders from all segments of healthcare about what's going on in their life, the things that they find interesting and challenging. I'm very pleased today to have as my guest Dr. Jill Goldenberg. Jill, welcome to Vital Conversations. We're going to talk about one specific part of your background, but before we get there, give people just a quick update on your story and history, because I think it'll create some context for the conversation we want to have today.
So, gosh, where to start? So I'm an internal medicine physician by background. I always like to start with that because that's pretty important about who I am. And I have spent most of my career kind of in a couple spaces clinically, both as a hospital medicine provider, a primary care physician, and then in the informatics space, and then in the value-based care space. What I might want to just quickly tell you about is kind of how I cut my teeth in informatics. I don't know. Kind of interesting. But really, I started my career in academics and was super interested. I was working as an academic hospital medicine provider, and I was super interested about how we transition patients from the hospital to home. And really felt like it was broken. And so I had the opportunity to build a homegrown product to solve that problem. And this was before we were using EMRs heavily in our academic center, and was able to build a system to do medication reconciliation, heart failure core measures, and discharge instructions. And so that's kind of how I cut my teeth in informatics, and really have spent my career doing various electronic medical record implementations, and then have held a number of leadership roles in the value-based care space and population health space.
Wow. So that's what I want to talk about. You're a uniquely bilingual person. And by that, I mean, you're a physician, so you speak clinical. You're an informaticist, which nobody knew what that was during third grade career day. So you speak data. I really want to concentrate our discussion on what you've learned over the years with clinicians, physicians, particularly in data. We're all talking data now. In fact, one of focus, our big product is an analytics product where we're bringing data. At 100,000 feet, what do we from a management leadership standpoint get right, and what do we get wrong when we approach clinicians with data?
Well, maybe, you know, it probably depends on your audience. So maybe, you know, probably with some clinicians, data resonates and it makes sense. But, you know, all of us that go into medicine, we want to help people. And so our North Star is always the patient. And so I think numbers without how this is impacting outcomes, how this is helping me do my job better as a clinician, you know, might, you know, often can be a way that we might miss the mark in communicating with clinicians. So I think telling those patient stories and connecting back the numbers to what we're actually seeing clinically is always important.
So it's interesting because we take the presumption physicians are fundamentally scientists at some level, right? They were probably pretty good kids in science. They sent them to a career in medicine. They got into and out of medical school. You would think the data alone, you guys read academic journals and studies and all this all the time. But you're saying you got to bring the story and connect the story where the numbers just are numbers.
Yeah, you do. Because at the end of the day, we want to take better care of patients. And I think, I mean, yes, we all went to medical school. Yes, we all at some point or another read the evidence. But to assume that every clinician is up to date, reading the journal, has a high understanding of data and evidence-based medicine would probably be a miss. I think that everybody is varies a lot on their understanding. So again, I think the story, and then I think also really trying to make sure that the physicians or the clinicians understand the data that you're walking through and all the definitions, because having been on the side of giving information to clinicians, sometimes we use too many acronyms or we make assumptions around what they do and don't understand. And sometimes because we are such, I don't know, type A people, maybe we don't ask questions that we should. So I think telling the story, telling the definitions, really spelling things out clearly actually helps us absorb and take action on the insights that's being provided.
The you talked about improving care, and I would assume that you found it easier if the data has a very straight line to if you do this, the patients you're taking care of get better. But we would all be naive if we said, whether it's in any of the settings you've been in academic medicine today, you're leading an IPA, which we'll talk about some of the differences in a minute. There's still a financial dimension. There's still a productivity dimension. So how do you navigate when we're looking at data that may not have a direct connection to this makes a patient's life better, but this is kind of what we have to do as a business? How do you approach the difference between clinical data and either financial or productivity data?
All of us as clinicians can understand that it can't always be about the patient, right? And that if we don't have the money to keep our doors open, we can't take care of patients. So I think often starting with that and maybe sort of level setting on why the finances are being talked about, but certainly across along my career, I have been known along with other leaders to put financial information in front of providers because yes, they have to keep their doors open. If they have more money, they can hire more staff to do better things for patients. So I do think there is a lever there in displaying financial data in front of providers and how that'll help them, still keep their North Star at the center.
What have you learned about how the data gets presented? I mean, you've brought in tying it back to the mission and the story, but we as data providers get lots of requests. I want it graphic, I want it in pictures. And then other people are like, no, I want the details. Just in the actual final presentation, what have you learned about that works well or doesn't work?
I mean, this is probably my own bias. I love pictures. I just think they're so much more digestible. But also data and graphs and things that you can sort of look at a high level and then, deep
Get
dive
into the
into,
detail.
so that you have that ability to kind of go in and out and meet the audience that you're in front of where they're at. Hopefully I answered your question, but I think it is a combination of pictures and then boiling it down. And then I think, one of the other things that I found effective is that, from that, then distilling down, hey, this is the action that we need you to take based on what we've just presented to you. And not asking them to connect the dots, but really boiling that down for them. And then making that digestible in bites so that they can get to, whatever outcome we're pushing them to get to.
I want to talk about your current really big challenge around data, where you're helping, you're working with an IPA, a lot of primary care practices. They're not employed, they're not an academic medical center, they're private practices, but you guys are partnering around value-based care. So the whole, I was trained in a fee-for-service mindset. Now, and by the way, in your world, a lot of your providers live in both, right? They've got some fee-for-service business and they all live in both. So in that specific challenge of, all right, I'm trying to get you to think like a value-based care provider, and it's only part of your business, and it's new, and it's not what you were trained on. What role does data play in that, and how is that a unique challenge when you're talking to a clinician?
Gosh, data plays a huge role in value-based care, right? Because, you know, the sort of rub, or I don't know if it's a rub, but most value-based care is how I like to think about it, as sort of risk-adjusted capitation.
Right.
Meaning that you're given a chunk of change to take care of your patients, but you have the opportunity to help document the chronicity of disease, so how sick your members are. And so the data around how sick your patients are and how well you're tracking to kind of how sick we think they are based on last year, as an example, is super important. So, you know, for these providers, it is a bit of a shift, right? Because they just see their patients, document what they're seeing, and kind of move on. And it is a new thing to suddenly understand that you've got to document these conditions every single year, because unfortunately CMS says that the patient has no condition. So the example we always like to give is if they had an amputation last year, this year,
the leg grew back.
The leg grew back, but it didn't grow back. And so if you don't document that, then CMS doesn't know that, and you don't have the dollars to care for your population. So it is quite a learning curve to help these clinicians get there. And then on the other side of that, you know, ideally, they're also trying to keep these patients well, which is actually my favorite part about value-based care, is that that we're really trying to prevent disease, and we're trying to get them to do all these health maintenance activities around colonoscopies and breast cancer. And then we're also encouraging them to reduce unnecessary, you know, visits to the emergency department or the hospital. And so it is a whole new world for these physicians. So showing them those numbers in terms of how they're performing, and where, again, being very prescriptive about, hey, this is where we think you could improve, is hugely important.
And are those kind of conversations, which are prospective as opposed to, hey, you got to get your documentation right for reimbursement or whatever, the data starts to get a little more fuzzy, right? We believe if we do X, we'll have a Y outcome, and maybe we've got some clinical evidence for it. Does that change the conversation at all when you're using data prospectively as opposed to retrospectively?
Well, if it does, I mean, I think everybody realizes we're kind of making our best guess. So again, I think it's going back to the patient story, and why are we doing this? Is that, I mean, I think we can all agree that we spend far too much money on healthcare today. And I think we all know there's a lot of waste and unnecessary spend. And so I don't think it's a hard sell to help these physicians, you know, understand that they're actually playing a part in trying to improve the way we deliver care in this country.
But there's a little bit of experimentation, right? Hey, we have a theory. Let's try to care for these patients this way, and then we'll track it and watch it over time. Final question. We are facing a pretty significant turnover in our physician population. A third of our physicians now are over 65. You know, physicians who've come out of school in the last 10, 15 years, you know, very, very different in terms of the world that they grew up in. They are entering our provider pool. What have you noticed just in terms of generational difference around a data conversation with a 65-year-old doctor versus a 32-year-old doctor?
I need to, people with broad strokes. So I think it probably varies, but I mean, you're right. I think, you know, some of the physicians that are sort of retiring out the door are maybe a little less data-driven, a little less technically savvy than the younger ones. And so, I mean, I think our experience is that often the younger generation is a
Right.
little bit more engaged. And I also think
Do they want their hands on the data? Like, give me access to it so I can see the charts, or is that not a generational difference that you've observed?
I've gotten that, at least in what I'm currently doing, just because a lot of these leaders are also doing patient care. And
Yeah.
so it might be different in an academic setting where I think that you would have folks that would really want to dig
Right,
in
right.
and ask some questions. I think we see that a little bit less in our
In the private practice world.
practice providers.
Awesome. Jill, thank you. Normally on podcast, you're on the other side of the mic. You host a podcast as well. Tell us a little bit about that.
So my podcast is called The Other Side of the Chart. I just launched it, gosh, not even 6 months ago now. So it's kind of a
Congratulations.
new, yeah, thank you, a new adventure for me. It's really been something that I had been thinking about for about a decade. I worked as a hospitalist for about 12 years in my clinical career, and really thought that the patient stories that I was hearing at the bedside were just fascinating. And so the current podcast is a little of that because I still have this urge to tell these patient stories, but
Yeah.
it's also really an attempt to also tell the bright spots within technology and process, and we're really keeping the patient and the care team and the family members all at the center. And so really designing for our North Star. And so lots of fun guests that come on and talk about care models, technology, and even have had, a patient that launched my podcast.
Awesome.
So
The
yeah.
other side of the chart.
Yep, the other side of the chart.
Fantastic. Dr. Jill Goldenberg, thank you for being with us today on Vital Conversations. Appreciate you sharing your wisdom and learning with us.
Of course, yeah. Thanks so much for having me. It was fun.
Vital Conversations is presented by Focus Solutions. Focus provides integrated IT data and software services to physician practices all across the United States. To hear more stories about physician practice leaders and what they are doing, subscribe to Vital Conversations wherever you get your podcast.